trust in God's word that will give you knowledge and wisdom and sound judgments when you're living this life. And cherish God's word, because God's word is more precious to us than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Why did those three students got drunk and then drove and then died? I think one reason might be that being a student of graduate school, there's a lot of stress. In reality, life is full of stressors. Most of you here are students, and I think you understand stress well, especially growing up from a Chinese family. Parents have high expectations of you, especially when it comes to academic performance. And this creates tremendous stress in each one of you. Because any grade lower than A makes your parents and teachers unhappy. They want you to be straight A students. Very high expectations. And because of such expectations, you think you are a loser when you don't get an A for a particular subject. Have you thought that way? I did not get an A. What a loser I am. You're never praised growing up in a traditional Chinese family for your achievements, but you're always criticized for not getting the ideal grade or score. So you're always discouraged growing up in a Chinese family. I was there before, I understand that. Students often think that if they don't get a particular grade, straight A's, or certain GPA or certain scores in ACT or SAT, then there's no future for them. Their life is doomed. I think this mentality kills all the joy in school. It's supposed to be joyful going to school, and yet I often don't see smiles on your faces because of the stress. Among us, there are others who are working adults. I think working adults also work under another stress as well, because of the financial responsibilities to pay off bills, rent, or mortgage payment if you own a house, especially when the economy is really bad. I think you're really stressed. Besides that, there are demanding bosses at work. They are demanding boyfriends, girlfriends, or husband and wife. Sometimes they drive you crazy. That creates another stress as well. Don't you sometimes just feel like so depressed? You just want to run away and forget about everything. Have you ever had such a thought? I just want to run away from all these. I can't take it anymore. I've had enough. Then in your life, there's a friend who says, hey, let's forget about all these. Let's go party and get drunk. What would you say to the friend? If I were such a friend, I suggest that let's go party, let's get drunk and forget all about all these stresses, all these things that bother us. Who would say yes? I'm your friend, okay? And I will even treat you whatever alcoholic drink you want. It's expensive. Nobody would say yes. And that's good. But in the future, in case it comes across your mind, I hope today's teaching will help you to say no consistently. Since joining Facebook, I've seen many of my friends, they actually posted their pictures of getting drunk. How can you tell that someone is drunk?
Okay.
Okay. In the pictures, I saw people with red faces. In the picture, I saw them with scattered focus in their eyes, no focus, and silly smiles on their faces. They probably thought they looked cute or funny in the photos. That's why they posted the photos. but it really concerns me. It concerns me to see my friends getting drunk. Why would I be concerned? It's none of my business, right? It's because getting drunk is a bad option for stress relief and can even kill you. That's why I have to teach today's message, so that you continually, consistently say no to getting drunk. I'll show you from today's message that getting drunk is a bad option for stress relief, but I will provide you good options so that you will not feel you just have taken the only option I have. Then what other options do I have? I will give you good options to getting drunk to release your stress. Before I go further, let me ask you, what is wine? What is wine? Ellen, what is wine? Okay, that's a pretty good definition. I have another hand.
Fermented grape.
Okay, or grape juice, fermented grape juice. That is one type of wine. You're right. According to the Old Testament, in Hebrew, two words were being used for wine, and they were both translated into the English word wine, or even in Greek, oinos. But there are two different types of drink, okay? The first one that was translated as wine is yin, which means fermented wine, what you just mentioned. And we are being warned about fermented wine in the passage that we'll study today, and many other passages in Proverbs. The second wine mentioned in the Bible is pirosh in Hebrew, or simply grape juice, or often translated as new wine that is not fermented yet. And there's no problem drinking grape juice, obviously. I drink another grape juice, okay, and I'm okay. And that is mentioned in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to verse 10, and many other verses. And I found out that there's no warning against new wine or tirosh. And the passages which mention this tirosh or new wine often regard possession of this as a blessing to the Israelites. So the wine that God warns us against is fermented alcoholic beverages. And there are a lot of varieties of such fermented alcoholic drinks. Give me some examples. Frank, give me an example of a fermented alcoholic drink. Budweiser, okay, that's a kind of beer, right? What else? What? Budweiser is one type of beer. There are many brand names, okay? Give me a kind of alcoholic drink, not just a brand name.
Liquor?
Okay, liquor? Huh? Jason?
Maotai?
What is that?
Maotai,
okay. That's a Chinese wine, okay? That's a type of rice wine. Okay? Anyone else has the knowledge of wine? I hope you have not drunk of that. Huh?
Long Island iced tea.
It's alcoholic. It has alcohol in it. Although it sounds like, oh, it's just iced tea, huh? Okay. So don't drink that. I'll tell you why. Okay. I saw another hand.
Whiskey.
That's right.
So creepy.
And David, tell me.
I did all about the beer.
All the beer? And what?
How about us?
Oh, that's another brand name for beer. Okay, thanks for your input and volunteering. I really appreciate that. So, actually, you guys already mentioned a lot of different types of alcoholic drinks. There are different types, different varieties. It depends on what is being used to ferment to become the wine. It might be from grapes or other fruits, then that's fruit wine or called country wine. Or it might be from starch-based materials like barley, so you have barley wine, or you have rice wine, or I believe there's a Japanese wine that's called a sake, right? That's a rice wine, or Maotai, Jason just mentioned. Yes, Alex?
Corn whiskey?
Corn whiskey, so that's another type of wine. So you guys do have some knowledge of that. I wonder how you learned about it. Well, the very... Okay, now let me see, okay? So when I ask you to see, raise up your hand and then see and tell us what's in your mind, okay? And I appreciate that. Of course, we all mentioned beer. That's a very popular kind of alcoholic drink. How about champagne? In weddings and many occasions, people celebrate and they drink champagne. How is champagne different from other type of wine? It is produced by inducing the in-bottle secondary fermentation of the wine to effect carbonation. That's why you see gas and sparkle in champagne. Okay? Let me ask you another question. Is it a sin to drink alcoholic beverages or wine? Is it a sin? Answer me, put up your hand, yes or no, and explain to me why. I want to know. Why? Why yes or why no? Daniel is smiling. And then Jennifer answered that later. Daniel, tell me, why? Yes or no? Is it a sin?
No.
Why not?
And well, if you intend to drink it, is to just to enjoy it with the meal, that's fine, I think.
You think that's fine? Just drink it with a meal. Sometimes we call that social drinking. Okay, not getting drunk, right? Okay, how about Jennifer?
As long as you don't get drunk.
Okay, as long as you don't get drunk.
Wine always makes you drink a lot,
add water. Add water to dilute that.
To make the juice of wine out of water. So wine is considered great value.
Uh-huh, that's right. Jesus, the first miracle that Jesus performed was to change water to choice wine, very good wine, used in the wedding. So people could drink it. So I believe Jesus was there. He would not just permit people to drink what would cause them to sin, right? You're right. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to verse 21, it mentions that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and there's a long list. So if you want to know if you are sinning, go to that list. That's a good reference. And it mentions drunkenness as one of the acts of sinful nature. So drunkenness, getting drunk, is sin. What does it mean to be drunken? We know what is alcoholic drink. We know it is not a sin to drink alcoholic beverages. But when does someone get drunk? What is being drunk? Too much of it, and you will get drunk. Okay? Actually, that's right. Drunkenness means drinking to the point when physical and mental functions are no longer under conscious control. Common symptoms may include slurred speech. That person can no longer express himself clearly. Loss of balance. That's why policemen will ask that person to walk in a straight line. And a drunken person will not be able to do that. Poor coordination. That person might want to pick up something, but try so hard and cannot get it. Flushed face. Red face. Reddened eyes. Red eyes. Reduce inhibition. That means no longer feel that he needs to be controlled. And there's no fear of danger. That person feels like I'm fearless. I can do anything. Uncontrolled emotions ranging from anger, sadness, and depression to euphoria, meaning extreme happiness. He is so happy, but very extreme, abnormal, okay? Nightheartedness and sexual disinhibition means loss of control of sexual desires and behavior, just do whatever they want. It leads to hangover the next day. Hangover is an illness after drinking. Symptoms of hangover are headache, nausea, feeling wants to vomit, the thirst, and sickness. It's a terrible feeling to experience hangover after you have gotten drunken the night before. And today we're looking at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 to verse 30. If you have a Bible, open your Bible to Proverbs. Chapter 23, verse 29 to 30. That will also be on the screen. And we'll see six undesirable consequences of getting drunk. And we'll learn how we can avoid them. First, all these consequences of getting drunk are presented in the form of questions. You'll see six questions in verse 29, and verse 30 will answer these six questions. It first asks, who has who? Who has who? What does who mean? Alex, put up your hand first, okay?
Sorrow, sadness,
okay, or grief, distress, or trouble. Who has trouble? Who has grief? Who has distress, problems?
I think it also means doom.
Or doom, okay? Not a bright future, okay? Thanks, Jesse. So, yes, who has who? Those who get drunken has who? Grief, distress, trouble, doom, resulting from serious affliction or misfortune. Verse 30 says that those who linger over wine, that means those people who continually go to wine, they're addicted, they drink some, they want more and more, and they got drunk. Or who go to sample bowls of mixed wine, the wine that's mixed with some spices, to make it even more intense, to intensify the effects of the alcohol to the body. I think most people, they drink wine because of some type of grief, distress, or trouble. And a friend suggests that drink some wine, you'll forget about it. And yet, after they have gotten drunk, it will get them into more trouble. Why? Why would drinking wine not help to decrease the grief, distress, or trouble, and actually increase it? According to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 to verse 5, it again talks about not suggesting not to get drunk. It says that in verse 4, Proverbs chapter 31, it is not for kings. Oh, the male, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. It's because after drinking wine, people forget right and wrong. They'll lose their sound judgment and their clear mind to handle the grief, distress, or trouble. As a result, they will get themselves into more grief, more distress, and more trouble. According to studies, scientific studies or medical studies, wine, alcoholic beverages, it is a depressant. What does it mean to be a depressant? It slows your body down, making it difficult to think clearly. Tests show that after taking 3 bottles of beer, there's an average net loss of memory of 13%. Trained typists were tested, and their errors increased 40% after taking only small quantities of alcohol. It is estimated that people who abuse alcohol shorten their lives by an average of 10 to 12 years. The great Canadian physician, Sir William Osler, was lecturing one day on alcohol. A student asked, "Is it true that alcohol makes people able to do things better?" "No," replied Sir William. "It just makes them less ashamed of doing them badly." During grief, distress, or trouble, what you need most is sound judgment and a clear mind to deal with the difficulty. Wine actually makes the situation worse because you lose sound judgment and a clear mind what you need most in that situation. Let me ask you, do you have grief, distress, trouble already? But do you want more by taking the risk of drinking wine and getting drunk and cause more grief, distress, or trouble for yourself? Do you want more grief? Put up your hand. Nobody. And I would say no. I don't want more grief, trouble, or distress if I'm already grief, distress, and trouble. Second, the second undesirable consequence of drinking alcoholic beverages by a question, who has sorrow? Who has sorrow? Because alcohol reduces inhibition. Drinking alcohol may make you act in a way that would embarrass you under normal circumstances. It can also make you do dangerous things that you wouldn't normally do. Each year, an estimated 7,000 people under the age of 21 die from alcohol-related injuries. In 2002, 29% of drivers aged 15 to 20 who died in traffic accidents had been drinking alcohol. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 6 to verse 7 says that, "Give beer to those who are perishing or dying, those people who are facing capital punishment. Give them some beer. Give them some wine. Wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more before their death, before their misery." When people have sorrow, drinking wine can temporarily help them forget the sorrow. But drinking wine never helps to improve the situation and often worsens the situation. When the drunkard makes more mistakes when drunken, some of the mistakes may cause sorrow and regret for the rest of his or their lives, like what happened yesterday at Southeastern University. I believe they were three gifted young people and just ended their lives because they got drunk and drove. There was a fatal accident involving the lives of four young people took place upon one of the nation's highways. The evidence that liquor was the cause was found in the broken whiskey bottles among the debris and mangled bodies of the four youthful victims. The father of one of the girls was in wild anger, so angry over the death of his beautiful daughter, and he threatened to kill the one who had provided the four young people with liquor. But upon going to the cupboard where he kept his supply of choice beverages, he found a note in his daughter's own handwriting saying that, "Dad, we are taking along some of your good liquor. I know you wouldn't mind." So actually, it was the dad's liquor that caused his own daughter's death. And he said he would kill whoever gave the liquor to his daughter, so he should have killed himself. Do you have sorrow already? Do you want more sorrow to regret for the rest of your life by taking the chance of drinking wine and getting drunk, and drunk drive killing someone or your loved family members? Is the answer yes or no? Do you want to have more sorrow? My answer is no. Third, consequence, undesirable consequence of getting drunk.
Huh? What's that picture?
It asks who has strife. Strife means fight. Alcohol can also make people aggressive and violent. Drinking has been linked to physical fights. When the bloodstream is 0.2% alcohol, the drinker thinks he can fight anybody in the whole crowd, maybe in the whole world. If you get drunken, you think you can fight anybody, even Bruce Lee, if you're not. When it is 0.4%, he is in a drunken stupor or near unconsciousness. And when it is 0.6%, he is in danger of death. Alcohol poisoning. There's a weird story of a steamer, a boat, that was found full of liquor, and it was just rolling helplessly on the sea. It looks like nobody is controlling the boat, because all its crew members were drunk. It came from Antwerp and brought a heavy cargo of smuggled liquor for the bootleggers or dealers of illegal goods in New York. When it was boarded by U.S. revenue officers, they found 43,000 cases of liquor and a drunken crew of 32 men. The ship's wheel was deserted. Nobody was controlling the ship. Two sailors snoring in the wheelhouse, snoring, sleeping. And below that, the crew was in a drunken stupor, people falling unconscious, many of them injured in the three fights that had occurred when the men were drunk. Three of them had broken jaws, another was flushed with fever from a broken neck, two had broken arms. The captain had locked himself in his own cabin, armed to the teeth, trying to protect his life from these drunkards. He said that his crew had drunk and fought every day since the vessel cleared from Antwerp. His papers show that he had sailed with 100,000 cases of assorted liquors. Do you remember how many cases were left? 43,000. That means they have consumed how many cases? 57,000 cases. More than half. No wonder they were in such tragedy. And the captain was so thankful that he was able to survive it. He was able to reach the shores with knife. He could have been killed. Alex.
Captain go to jail.
Huh?
Captain go to jail.
I believe so, because they are doing something illegal, smuggling liquor. So that's the other part of the story. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says that wine is a mocker and beer a brawler, calling people to fight. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Being drunken is the source of fighting, which leads to injury and even death. Would you take the risk to drink and get drunken and then be injured or killed in a fight? Yes or no? No. I only heard one voice. More now. Everybody should have said no to that.
Yeah.
And I would say no. Not for me. Yeah. Sorry. I would never get drunken and be injured or killed in a fight because of my stupidity, with God helping me. The fourth consequence, undesirable consequence of getting drunk, is complaint. Who has complaint? Chapter 23, Proverbs, verse 33, says that your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind imagine confusing things. When you are drunk, you'll see strange things, and you'll imagine confusing things, and you'll complain about things that don't really exist. Under the influence of alcohol, one would feel uninhibited, feel not controlled, feel free to do whatever he or she wants to do, and will complain about anything or anyone, or even tell a secret that should be kept secret. This person will end up with more complaints when inappropriate complaints go to the ears of the one who will feel offended by them and treat them even worse. So as a result, more complaints for them. Being drunken is the source of complaints. Would you take the risk to drink wine and get drunk and then end up offending people who would treat you badly? Yes or no? No. Fifthly, The fifth consequence, undesirable consequence of getting drunk is presented by asking this question: who has needless bruises? Proverbs chapter 23 verse 34 says that you will be like one sleeping on the high seas. The drunken man or woman will be like the one sleeping on the high seas, very dangerous. And yet, lying on the top of the rigging or the sail of the boat, the equipment on the sail of the boat, so that's very high, very dangerous. But that person doesn't know the danger. Verse 35, Proverbs 23, they hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When drunken, the drunkard loses judgment of danger and does dangerous things. The senses are also numbed. The drunkard would bump into obstacles and get bruises or broken bones, but won't even feel any pain. But he will be sorry and crying in pain when his senses are restored. You might have seen Jackie Chan's movie, The Drunken Fist, or it might look cool, but I believe when his senses are back in the movie, the pain would make him cry. Would you take the risk to drink wine and get drunk and then end up getting bruises or broken bones? Yes or no? No. Lastly, the sixth undesirable consequence of getting drunk presented by this question: who has bloodshot eyes? Although it's now been known that excessive drinking damages the brain, there's a new report that says that even social drinking destroys brain cells. At the 28th International Congress on Alcohol and Alcoholism, Dr. Melvin H. Nicely, professor of anatomy at the Medical College of South Carolina, offered evidence to show that when a drinker begins to feel the least bit giddy or dizzy, feeling dizzy while drinking, a few of his brain cells are already being killed. One single heavy drinking incident can damage or destroy as many as, guess how many brain cells?
5 million?
That's too many.
5,000.
10,000. Got it, okay? Each normal human being is born with how many? How many brain cells? Get?
80,000.
80,000, that's too few. 80,000, so just 8 times of getting drunk, you'll die. Pretty bad. So actually, 17 billion brain cells. That's a lot of brain cells, huh? So we can destroy many of them and still have all we need. But brain cells are the only cells in the body that cannot reproduce themselves. That means once you lose them, they're gone forever. You will not be able to grow new cells in your brain. Scientists have discovered that blood will get sticky and accumulate in the capillaries of the eye after only one large glass of beer. That's why this drunken man's eye is red. The more alcohol in the blood, the more ruptured or torn the cells are. Cells will be damaged when people are drunken. Drinking too much, or called binge drinking, drinking many drinks in a row, can cause alcohol poisoning, which can lead to coma and even death. Alcohol use increases the risk of liver damage. My grandfather died of liver damage, hardened liver, because he drank a lot when he was young. Every meal I saw him drinking some rice wine, but I was forbidden to drink. And he died from liver damage, hardened liver, no longer functioning because of the damage caused by the alcohol poisoning. Mouth, throat, esophagus, and larynx cancer and heart disease are also consequences of drinking too much. Repeated alcohol exposure to young people especially can change the path of their brain development. impacting adolescents even after they have become adults. Let me ask you this question again. Would you take the risk of drinking alcoholic beverages and getting drunk and of losing your precious brain cells? If you're a student, if you're smart, you actually have a lot of stress from schoolwork, you better not drink because it will kill your brain cells and make it more difficult for you to study in the future. The wise man who wrote Proverbs chapter 23, here it is not by King Solomon, it's another wise man. His answer to the above six questions will also be no. The wise man who wrote these words of wisdom suggests that the same when it comes to avoiding drunkenness. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31 to 32. Immediately after the passage that we're studying, the two verses, do not gaze at wine when it is red. Don't even look at it. When it sparkles in the cup, like champagne. When it goes down smoothly, you might feel good when it goes down your throat. Verse 32 says that, in the end it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. It's serious. And we already know very clearly the consequences, undesirable consequences of drinking wine. Now, come back to the beginning. I have just, in some way, removed an option for you to release your stress. You say, what other options do I have? I'm so stressed. What can I do?
Let's drink.
Let's drink what? That's not an option.
Grape juice.
Water, okay. Would that help you to release the stress, drinking water? If it helps, go ahead. But I'm going to offer you some other options. According to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Listen, David. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or immoral behavior. When you're here, act as if you're not drunk, okay? If I see you doing weird things, I might think that you're drunk. So as God's people, act as if we're not drunk, okay?
Even if you are drunk?
If you are drunk, you cannot hide it. You cannot even pretend that you're not drunk. Alright? Now, the Bible says that do not get drunk on wine, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Including beer?
Not even beer. If you drink too much, you'll get drunk as well. Because there's also alcohol in there.
I'm talking about
In coping with the stresses in life, instead of drinking alcoholic beverages, which can cause you to get drunk and cause the above-mentioned problems, I suggest the following to help you relieve your stress. And I practice most of them. And I live under a lot of stress as well. Being a minister, being a husband, and just being a man. Stress, what is stress? Stress comes from the force outside where it is greater than the inner strength to cope with it. You feel stressed. You probably cannot change what is outside. You cannot change your professors, asking your professor to give you next assignments. Or your parents changing their expectations even. You cannot change them. It's very hard to change adults. But you probably can increase your inner strength in three areas. The physical area, the mental area, and the spiritual area. The physical area. Your parents probably taught you to sleep well, eat healthy and nutritious food, exercise every day. According to research, when people exercise, the body will produce a chemical called endorphin. It will help them to feel relaxed, and it will make them feel good. And that's not harmful to the body. I typically do pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, I do taekwondo, I play ping-pong, sometimes walking, running, playing tennis. I have my schedule of a workout every day to just help me to cope with stress in life. And I know with God's help, just to be controlled, to be self-disciplined, I was able to do that. And I think I'm coping stress physically okay by doing what I just suggested. Mentally, you have to understand that your happiness and success are not dependent on academic performance or how much money you make or save or what other people think about you. These are often the sources of stress to most people. Why? Because you are already more valuable than anything in the world, because even God's Son Jesus Christ died and was resurrected for you. Do you know how valuable each one of you are? Why do we have to care about what other people think about us? Unreasonably thinking about us, thinking that we are not good enough, but in God's eyes, we are the most valuable. So you are already valuable. Don't live in order to make other people happy. Live to make God happy. You should still try your best by relying on God's empowerment, the wisdom God will give you. But after you have tried your best, leave the result to God. God is in control of the result, and God will always make everything work for the good of all those who love Him. Also encourage you to enjoy the process of going to school, working, not always looking at the result. Enjoy the process. That's what you can have control of. The result is in God's hands. Lastly, spiritual area. As we learn from Ephesians chapter 5, fill the void, the hole, the emptiness and boredom in your heart. There is a hole in everyone's heart. Only God can fill it. Fill it with beautiful praise songs to praise God and give thanks to God. Pray as if you are talking to a good friend, closest friend who truly loves you, because God indeed loves you even more than your closest best friend. And God understands you. Ask God to help you to cope with stress, to remove the source of stress and your frustrations. Ask God to speak to you personally through the Bible. Christianity is about relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is real. And when you pray to God, God speaks to you. When you read the Bible, ask God to speak back to you through the Bible in a personal way. God does speak to us even today through His living word, and God is still alive. Jesus Christ is alive because He was resurrected. Spend some time every day. Rest quietly. Rest your body. Rest your mind. Rest your spirit. When you feel really stressed, another way to release your stress is to talk to mature, spiritual, wise friends. Someone said, the more you share with someone your burden, the less burden you have. And the more happy thing, joy you share with people, the more joyful you will feel. God has given each one of us friends. But cherish those who fear God, who are spiritual, who are mature. They can be your help when you are in trouble, in grief, distress, sorrow. We should try to increase our physical, well, our mental and our spiritual strength and wisdom. But let me ask you, how do these three areas relate? Physical, mental, and spiritual. Are they isolated, segregated, or are they related in any way? Let me answer this question for you. Let God's spirit of truth and power and wisdom control your mind. Let the spirit control the mind. Let the spirit in your heart, God's spirit, control your mind. And let your spirit controlled mind control your body. And then no stress can overcome you. True joy, peace, and self-control comes from God through an intimate relationship with God every day. Lastly, let me read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to verse 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. We often need self-control when it comes to releasing our stress the proper way, not getting drunk, even not spending too much time playing video games that can even also harm you, or doing other things that doing that in moderation is good for you, but losing control can also harm you. In a similar way that drunkenness in alcoholic beverages harm you. Next prayer. Oh dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you have sink in each one of our heart, our minds, your precious word that does not deceive, that guides us, that teaches us, that gives us wisdom so that we will not end up doing things like drunk driving and end up dying a miserable death, wasting our precious lives. God, give us wisdom before we see you face to face through your spirit, through your words, through prayer, and through wise living, even in the mind and in the body. May you be glorified when we are able to manage stress God's way and help many people who are trying to handle their stress but with all the wrong ways and getting themselves in more trouble. May that be a way for us to witness to this lost world. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.